We're doing a special class on Eicha. Eicha is the Book of Lamentations that was written by the prophet Jeremiah. The word Eicha means how, and we have two opinions among our sages as to when Eicha was written. Rashi quotes the opinion that Eicha was written before the destruction of the temple, when the prophet Jeremiah visited the Judean king Jehoiakim and told him of the imminent destruction. So the prophet brought with him a scroll that had three chapters of Eicha. That's why we have three chapters of Eicha in the order of the Aleph Beis. When the king heard the opening verses and came to a realization that Jeremiah was telling him that he would no longer be king, he threw the scroll into the hearth and had it burnt. And then God told Jeremiah, he told Yirmiyahu, I want you to rewrite it and double it. And because of that, we have the chapter, the third chapter, which is a chapter that has three sets of the Aleph Beis. Every letter is written three times. Ani hagever, oti nahag, ach bi, first three verses within Aleph. Bila visari, bana alai, b'machshakim oshivani, three verses with the Beis, etc. So we have Megillas Eicha according to Rashi, and this is one opinion in the Midrash. The Megillah was actually written long before the destruction of the temple. The Megillah is speaking in past tense. It's as though the prophet is looking back at the destruction. The other opinion in the Medrash, which Rashi doesn't even quote, the other opinion says, no way. Eicha is all in past tense. Eicha is post-destruction. This isn't the scroll that Jehoiakim threw into the hearth. That was a different scroll. That was a different prophecy. This was written as Jeremiah saw the destruction with his own eyes, and as a reaction he wrote the Megillah of Eicha. The key word in Eicha is Eicha. What does the word Eicha mean? So we will assume the word Eicha means how. How did it come to be? And we have a special tune for Eicha. It says in Shulchan Aruch, when we read Eicha, we're all sitting down on the floor of the shul on the night of Tisha B'Av. We should have minimal lights. Usually we only light a candle by the one reading the Megillah, or we keep only one light on. It says in Halacha we're supposed to pause in between each verse. I can tell you it's very difficult to be a listener when someone's pausing in between each verse. We're supposed to begin on a low note and with each chapter rise a little bit. And Eicha has a special tune. The tune of the trump is very similar to the Kriya Satora. It's on a different pitch, on a sadder pitch. We'll see right now. Let's see it. The best background is seeing the Megillah inside. And we're going to try this time to just read the Pshat, to run through the Pshat of the Megillah. Eicha yasheva vadat ha'ir rabat yam hayeta ke'almana. The Navi says, how has it come to be that the city that had such an amassing of people, ha'ir rabat yam, the city that had so many people and people of such high stature, they were known internationally for their wisdom, for their business acumen, for their sharpness, and now the city is sitting alone. Yasheva vadad. The city is desolate. If we look back at the destructions of humanity, humanity aspires to union. Humanity, every one of us aspires to connect. And every time there is destruction, there is a disconnect. It begins with creation. Adam and Eve, we have a marriage. It lasts one day. And then Adam and Eve separate for 130 years. Adam begins in the Garden of Eden, and then he is exiled from the Garden of Eden. Disconnect. Adam begins with a connection with God, and then he is distanced from God. So our history from the beginning of time is where we have potential for connect, and then there's destruction. We destroy with our actions, and suddenly we discover that that destruction has penetrated the connections which we cherish. And so the people of Israel are exiled from the land of Israel, and the Navi Yirmiyahu questions, Eicha, how did it come to be so? How did the city that had such great people in it, how did it come to be a desolate city? Yashivavadad. Hayeta ka'almana. The city has become like a widow. And our sages stress within Eicha that we have an allusion to the eternal connection. He does not say it has become a widow, but rather he says it has become like a widow. Jeremiah, even in his lamentations, is alluding to the fact that we are still connected. There's destruction, there's desolation, and behind it all, there's still a connection. Hayata ka'almana, the city of Jerusalem has become like a widow. Rabati vagoyim, the city that was great among nations. Everyone spoke about the brilliance of the people of Jerusalem. Sarati vamedinot hayeta lamas. The city that governed over nations was now taxed. Nations would now persecute the people of Jerusalem. Bachot ivke balayla. Weep how she weeps, that city at night. Vedimata al lechaya. Her tear is ever present, wetting her cheek. Ein la menachem mikol ohaveha. And all those people who presented themselves as though they were her lovers, suddenly none are there to comfort her. Kol re'eha bageduva. On the contrary, all those friends have become traitors. Hayula. And now they've shown their true faces, and she recognizes that in truth they are her enemies. It was at night that the temple was burnt, and that's why we continue the customs of mourning into the night following Tisha B'Av. We don't listen to music, we don't take haircuts, we don't eat meat, we don't drink wine. When Tisha B'Av ends, we have the customs of mourning linger with us into the following morning. So, Bachot ivke balayla, weep how she weeps at night, because the prime time of destruction was the night. The fires were burning through the night of the 10th of Av until that noon. And suddenly she discovers that all those nations who she thought she can trust instead of God, suddenly they turn on her. When we're in trouble and we turn to the different peace treaties we have with the surrounding nations, suddenly we discover they've turned on us. We had a pact with Egypt. If we would be attacked, they would come out to help us. And they did not live up to their end of the deal. Galeta Yehuda Meoni Umerov Avoda. He Yasheva vagoyim lo matzea manoach. Galeta Yehuda me'oni. Judea was exiled out of poverty. There's a person who has to leave. He sees things aren't working out. So he recognizes before he's down and out, and he moves. It's an exile, but it's an exile that's planned. Then there's a person that falls and falls and falls, and everything's destroyed, and he has no assets, and he's down to nothing. And then he says, gee, I better go somewhere else. And then there's a person who loses all his wealth. There's a siege on Jerusalem. We spend all our gold and silver, buying bare necessities, buying meager water that they bled into the city. And now when the city is destroyed, you have the most impoverished nation being exiled. Galeta Yehuda me'oni u'me'rov avodah. With tremendous work, now they're going to be put to work. And he ashevav goyim. So it's not enough that we were exiled when she, Judea, tried to settle among the nations. Lo matze'ah manoach. Over there, suddenly she discovered there will be no rest. She will continue to suffer persecution. The destruction wasn't enough. Kol rodefea hisigua bein ha-metzarim. All those people who were interested in pursuing Judea, all those enemies that were lurking in the shadows that didn't dare raise their head previously, suddenly came forth and caught up to her when she had enemies on both sides. Ben ha-metzarim. When we were oppressed by others, that's when those little enemies who were always waiting for a chance, suddenly they came out of the woodwork. Chazal tell us Bein HaMitzarim is a reference to Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. That's an allusion to these two dates. Historically, it is during this time period, Bein HaMitzarim, where we have destruction in the beginning, the 17th of Tammuz, destruction in the end, the 9th of Av. And in between those two, we have suffered terrible destructions in Jewish history. Our sages also interpret the beginning of the verse, Galeta Yehuda me'oni. The word oni could also mean le'anot, to oppress others. The reason Judea was exiled was because the people of Judea were oppressing orphans and widows. Me'rov avodah, there was tremendous servitude. That's a reference to how much they would make their brethren work. The prophet begs them, let the servants go free. And they refuse to listen. Me'rov avodah, from such oppression of the workers, that's what spiritually, that was the cause of the destruction. And so, midah keneged midah, as God pays back in accordance with the sin. So then when Judea was exiled, Judea too did not find any respite. Because the cause, the sin, was the fact that they wouldn't give their servants any rest. Darchei Tzion Avelot Mibeli Ba'ei Moed Kol She'areha Shomeimin Koaneha Nenachim. Darchei Tzion, the paths leading up to Jerusalem, Avelot, are in mourning. Mibeli Ba'im Moed, no one's ascending to Jerusalem to celebrate the holidays. Kol She'areha, the gates that were part of the honor of Jerusalem are now Shomeimin, desolate. Kohaneha, the priests who would lead the services, are now Ne'enachim, they are now sighing. Our sages interpreted the verse, Dalchei Tzion Avelot, why are the paths of Zion in mourning? Mibeli Ba'ei Moed, because when we had the temple, no one would ascend to it. So when we had the opportunity, we ignored the temple. And so God took it away from us. Betuloteha nugot vehimala. Betuloteha, her virgins are nugot. They are in mourning. They are saddened. The root of the word nugot, says Rashi, is a gimel. This is one of the few places in Tanakh where Rashi points out that the root of a word is one letter. Rashi says nun is a root of a word. We have a few places where Rashi says the root is one letter. So here Rashi learns the root of nugot is a gimel from the word yagon. So that even though the virgins ordinarily are happy, they look forward to life. But now they will be in mourning. Vehi and she, Jerusalem marla, she is terribly embittered. Hayo שריה לראש אויביה שלו, כי אדוני הוגה על רוב פשעיה. Her enemies took control. Hayu tzareha, her enemies were lerosh. They were the leaders. They took over the leadership of Jerusalem and the Jewish people. Oyeveha shalu, her enemies have tranquility from the word shalva. Ki Hashem hoga al rov pesheya, because God has broken her over her tremendous rebellious ways. Remember, the prophet Ezekiel is shown a vision. The elders are in the temple. They turn to face the rising sun. And bad enough in the temple, they bow to the rising sun. The Navi Ezekiel is shown how they reveal their backs to the Holy of Holies to add salt to injury. In the temple, Yechezkel sees how the elders are bowing to the sun and they're showing their shame to the Holy of Holies. Olaleha halechu shvi lifnei tzar. Her youngsters, those children that have not yet been weaned, they know how to walk and talk, but they haven't been toilet trained, they are taken in shackles before the enemy. Vayetzei mibat tzion kol hadara. And all the glory of Zion has been taken out of it. Hayo sareha keayalim lo matzeo mire vayelechu velochoach lifnei rodef. The leaders who are supposed to give inspiration and guidance, they were like ayalim, like young rams, that lo matzu mire, have not found anything to graze on, anything to eat. Vayelechu velochoach, and even though they're running from the enemy, it's without strength. So not only don't they lead, they can't lead themselves. Yes?
Before you were saying that they were praying toward the sun away from the Mikdash, does that mean that they woke up for sunrise?
It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Ad matai atzel tishkav matai takum mishanatecha. Lazy one, till when will you lie? When will you arise from your sleep? The Gran Shulchan Aruch quotes a medrash on that. Maybe it's a medrash there, I don't know. The medrash says, who is the lazy one? That's the one that gets up in the last hours of the night before sunrise. The average person was up long before sunrise. You're lazy if you're only getting up for nates. So in those days when you went to sleep at sunset, you know, imagine you'd be in bed at 8 o'clock. So how much can you sleep?
Sleeping?
Yeah, think about it. They needed to... Every minute they were awake, they were paying, and not like our electric bill, they were paying a lot of money for to keep the oil burning. So once it gets dark, if you have no source of light, you generally go to sleep. It's one of the nice things that happens when there's a blackout on a Friday night at 5 o'clock in Kochav Yaakov. You suddenly have no light, no electricity. So how long are you going to stay up in the dark? Saying, it happened every month this winter, almost every month. So you get an early night, right? So we're up to Pasuk Zion, which is the letter Zion. Zachera Yerushalayim Yimei Onya Umerudeha. Jerusalem remembers fondly. She remembers the past. And then she suddenly remembers what happened. Why did destruction come? Yemei onia umerudea. She remembers her rebellion that brings about her destruction. Kol machamudeha asher hayo mimekedem. She remembers how It seems like forever that she's had all these fortifications, adornments, and all that suddenly being destroyed. Binfol amah biyad tzal. And then the nation falls in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar the wicked, who afflicts them. He personally rapes their king, and then slaughters his five sons before his eyes, only to follow up by gorging out his eyes. Sachaku al mishbateha. And then, as the Babylonians are taking the Jews out to exile, they start laughing at the fact that the Jews are in captivity. Sachaku, they laugh al mishbateha, on the fact that she ceases to have the Shabbos, the Yom Tov, the fortification, her own sovereignty. And the Medrash says that when we went to exile, we did tshuva. The Jews had started to observe Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shemitah, and the nation started laughing at them. And they said, when you were in Israel and life was good, and you had every reason in the world to respect God, there you didn't observe all of this. So now you're out in exile, you're going to keep Shabbos. Sachaku, they laughed, al mishbateha, over her continued insistence to maintain her Shabbos and Yom Tov, etc. This is an insight into the greatness of the people who did tshuva in the exile. Coming off this, we understand Haman's claim to Ahasuerus. These Jews are always taking time off. Well, yes, now we learned our lesson. One of the claims Haman made against the Jewish people was, he said, they're not productive citizens. They have off for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, almost the whole month. After that, the Shabbosos, they never show up to work.
We had a good union.
Yerushalayim. Jerusalem has sinned a tremendous sin. Al kein lenida hayata. And that's why she was forced to exile. Notice the stress. The stress here is the exile. And throughout Eicha, and this goes back to the original discussion where destruction creeps into connection. Where there's destruction, suddenly there's a breach of a bond. It can be Adam and Eve. It could be Adam in the Garden of Eden. It can be Adam and God. The word nida literally comes from the word navanad, to be constantly on the move, not to be able to settle down and connect. Where do we find that? That's the next destruction in creation. Cain and Abel. When Cain kills Hevel, God decrees on Cain, he will not be able to rest. That's it. If until now you had it in the Garden of Eden, you were exiled and at least you could settle down someplace on earth, God says, Cain, you cannot settle down. Now you'll be a man on the go, the wandering, not Jew yet, but the wandering Cain. You cannot settle down. Anywhere you go, you won't be calm. You'll always have to be on the move. And here too, when Jerusalem sins her great sins, so then linida hayata, we were decreed, it was decreed that we would become the wandering Jews. Linida, to one who is constantly on the go in exile, hayata, that's what we became. Kol mechabedeha hiziluha ki ra'u ervata. All those who had previously respected her, now they cheapened her, they looked down at her, they scorned at her, for they've seen her revealed. Gam hi ne'encha v'tashovachol. And she too sighed as she reeled backwards in her destruction. Tumata bishuleha. Her defilement is leaking at the bottom of her clothes. The Navi is describing a woman who has no way of containing her onset. And so suddenly her clothes start getting dirty at the bottom. Lo zachera acharita. Jerusalem never thought where this all would lead to. eat, drink, and be merry, the prophet says. The Navi describes that that's where we were holding. This isn't a Shakespearean quote. It's in the Navi. Achol v'shato ki machar namut. The Jews said, eat and drink today, because tomorrow you might die. So carpe diem in the worst way. So lo zachira acharita. They never thought, they never remembered, they never stopped to think, where is this all going to lead to? Vatered pilaim. And she went down in an awesome way. Ein minachem la. No one's there to comfort her. She has fallen pilaim. She has fallen into ostracism. Even among the nations, everyone looks down at her. No one's there to comfort her. Re'ei Adonai et onyi, ki higdil oyev. The Navi is speaking on behalf of the Jewish people. And the Navi turns to Hashem and says, look, Hashem, at my affliction, because the enemy is being so arrogant to me. Higdil oyev. The enemy is scorning me and going above and beyond in his arrogance. Another interpretation is, higdil, he has gone above and beyond in his efforts to afflict me. Yado paras tzar al kol machamadeha. The enemy has extended his hand to all of Jerusalem's treasures. Our sages say, this is a reference to our Sifrei Torah. Who is this enemy? This is the Ammonites and Moabites. They always had it in for us. They said, why does your Torah keep saying no Ammonites or Moabites? We cannot enter the Jewish people. So when they had their chance, they came in and searched for Sifrei Torah. They were going to take their revenge from the Torah scroll. Al kol machamadeah. Every other nation came and looked for gold and silver. Ammon and Moab were focused on one thing. Let's find their Torahs. That's what they wanted to burn.
After Rus, so
they could have seen it the other way, right? Right? They could have seen that Ruth was the source of the Davidic dynasty. Look at how high a Moabite can, what height a Moabite can achieve. And Naamah Ammonit was also a part of the dynasty. Kirata goyim ba'u mikdasha asher tzivita lo yavo v'kahal lach. For Jerusalem has witnessed how nations have entered her temple. Nations that you, Hashem, commanded may not enter the Jewish congregation, the Ammonites and Moabites. Kolama ne'nachim mevakeshim lechem. Her nation is sighing. They seek the most basic sustenance. They are dying of hunger, begging for bread. Natenu machamadehem be'ochel lashiv nafesh. They've given their most cherished items for a morsel of bread, trying to maintain their lives. Re'ei Adonai ve'habita ki hayiti zoleila. Hashem, look. Take note, because I've reached a point where I'm ravenous. I've reached a point where I'm losing my human form. The hunger can drive a person mad. Ki ayiti zoleila. It's interesting that one of the things we're starting to see in this pasuk is that the people of Israel are called her nation. We are called the nation of Zion. We are Amma. We are the nations of the nation of Jerusalem. It's not that Jerusalem is our capital. We are the people of Jerusalem. Uva l'tzion goel. We're going to see now after Tisha B'Av, starting next Shabbos, Shabbat Nachamu, we are going to have 7 weeks with 7 prophecies of comfort. If we've just encountered in the last 2 weeks, and then the build-up is to this week, Shabbat Chazon, 3 prophecies of destruction. After Tisha B'Av, we'll have 7 prophecies of comfort. And there we will see the comfort is focused to Jerusalem. And secondary to Jerusalem, to the Jewish people. Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Hashem. Zion says, God has forsaken me. Vahashem Shechechani. And God has forgotten me. Hatishkachi Shaula. God says, can a woman forget her child? Can she forget to have mercy of her own flesh and bones? You know what? A woman might forget all of those, and I won't forget you, Jerusalem. God says to Jerusalem. And then, coming off of Jerusalem, he speaks about the Jewish people. Next prophecy, Aniyah Sohara Lo Nuchama. The city of Jerusalem, she is Aniyah, she is afflicted, she has Sohara, she is in disarray. Lo Nuchama, she has never had comfort. Hine Anochi, God says, Marbitz Bapucha Vanayich, I'm going to bring you eyeshadow for your stones. Marbitz Bapuch, I will bring eyeshadow to adorn Avanayich, even your stone. And I will build you up with sapphire. And then all your children will be the chosen ones. A comfort to Jerusalem, coming off of Jerusalem, a comfort to the Jewish people. So we will see how this is a recurring theme. The focus of Eicha is the destruction of Jerusalem, and coming off of Jerusalem, we are Jerusalem's people. We are Amma, we are the people of Jerusalem. Right. I was thinking.